Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
There's something wrong with the world today. I don't know what it is. Something's wrong with our eyes. We're seeing things in a different way. God knows it ain't his. It sure ain't no surprise.
Virtues, please.
Patience, kindness, honesty, self-control, courage, love, respect, responsibility, fairness, compassion, empathy, understanding, generosity. Don't clown around with electricity, frugality, integrity.
So I know you got no context, but it's kind of exciting sounding, right? Students, young people seem to be chanting a list of virtues and kind of an ideal. Well, that's this is an amazing story. I love this guy so much. That's Mr. O, Lewis Arrear, the science teacher at Ransom Middle School, who was the one who wanted to go to Mars. And you know, remember that from a couple of years ago, and then didn't make the final selection for that, and then was willing to do some of the Mars testing stuff. And great guy, great teacher, widely beloved by his students, outstanding science teacher. And he's retiring, 31 years. This is a video shot by our good friend Brent Lane over at Cat Country last night in the super top secret bringing kids from past classes all the way back to the 90s into town in order to celebrate his retirement.
I was shocked. I was so surprised in a small community like Cantonment. I didn't think anything stayed a secret. And I was wrong. Apparently everybody blocked me from all these messages going around, and I didn't get a hint on any of the social media platforms. So, yeah, I'm surprised, and very pleasantly so. I'm just holding back tears. Thank y'all. Appreciate it.
Oh, man, I love it. He's such a good teacher, such a good person, and obviously, you know, what a teacher like this does for students is they don't just teach the science, you know. He does teach the science, but he doesn't just teach, you know, Avogadro's formula or, you know, the mole number or, you know, the periodic table. But he teaches kids to love learning and to love science and to love investigation and exploring the wonder of the world. Just like a good math teacher doesn't just teach you math, but teaches you how to love learning. And a good literature teacher doesn't just teach you even the books in particular, but teach you to love reading and expression and creativity. And, you know, and just anybody who sparks that interest in students is always an A-plus in my book. And there are loads and loads and loads of teachers who do work just like that. But I happen to know him. He happened to retire yesterday. And so congratulations to Mr. O for all of these years of teaching. Another kind of an interesting thing going on, I found myself watching the Tourism Development Council meeting yesterday in Santa Rosa County. Jeff Snow, City Council of Milton, City Councilman.
The big tourism thing I spoke of before here, Weber's Skateway is an inline world-class speed skating track. It's kind of like NASCAR on inlines. Dave Weber built it up in Milton. This week, they're all coming in now. There'll be over 200 for the U.S. Championships are here. The track was just finished this past year, and they've already moved their U.S. Championships from the Olympic Training Center in Colorado to Milton, Florida. So that's bringing lots of tourism dollars here.
It's just such a cool story. I still kind of can't believe it. You know, we reported on this last year when the track first opened. We had David Weber on, Jeff Snow talking about this, that we now have really the premier inline skating facility in the world in Milton, just up Stewart Street. You know, it's like, what? Yeah, because he's passionate about this, and now the USA team, I guess, trains here, and I know lots of people have moved here, and lots of kids train here, and you know, this weekend is actually one of the USA National, the track and road championships and Team USA trials. So if you do well this weekend and next week, you will become a member of Team USA speed skating. I mean, it's like really impressive stuff. Kim Kidder, the track manager.
So this weekend, starting tomorrow, will be the 2024 USA Roller Sports Road and Track Outdoor Nationals and our 2024 USA Team Trials. The people who make the team will travel to Italy in September to compete.
That's amazing. They'll go to Italy to compete. And there's like 500 people in town for this.
This event will probably bring in 500 plus people just for a 10-day event.
Man. And by the way, it's just practices like today and tomorrow. On Sunday, they have the opening ceremony. And then in the afternoon, like 4 o'clock is the opening ceremony. And then 5 o'clock, they start having the senior world team ladies and men's 200 meter and the junior world team ladies and men's 200 meter. And then all throughout next week. If you go by the, you know, it's right across from Weber Skate World. Like, Weber Skate World is, on the east side of Stewart. And then just north of that, like right across the street, literally, is this amazing outdoor speed skating facility. And then all next week, in the morning and in the afternoon, never right at noon, but in the morning around 8 o'clock and in the evening around 4 or 5, they're going to be doing all of these different skating events. So it's going to be really cool. The other thing that I heard yesterday at the Santa Rosa County Tourism Development Council meeting, actually, I'll get to that in just a second. John's got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Taking a look at traffic, I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly right now. Just seeing some backups on Tejar and Fairfield, along with Tejar and Davis Highway. Other than that, things are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Back to the Tourism Development Commission meeting yesterday, council meeting yesterday at in Santa Rosa. I think this is actually at Tiger Point. But one of the things that got mentioned, Colton Wright sits on that board, and he mentioned, Commissioner Colton Wright,
for those that may not be aware, the county did go out for a feasibility study, and that's currently being done on an aquatic center. And hopefully we get some good news on that. It shows it's feasible and shows what it could be. But I think that will open up some serious opportunities for some sports tourism. And I've had some preliminary talks with folks related to some Olympic swimming in the desire to find a new home. And I'm hoping we can leverage a new aquatic center to bring a team here. So I just dropped that little hint.
Well, you just got me excited again.
No ho hum, no big deal. Now this is a long series, okay? But if they get the aquatic center study comes back favorable, and if the commission votes to create one, then we would have another world class facility for water sports training, and you would possibly get Olympic teams and or training folks come here to, you know, just practice their swimming in perhaps in Milton or in Tiger Point or who knows exactly, or, you know, Midway, whatever. So in addition to American Magic, in addition to world-class speed skating, maybe world-class competition or practice home for swimmers. Who knows? Maybe. Maybe not. We'll see. Time will tell. But you know, like I say, a ho-home. Cool stuff going on all over the place. Hey, if you're thinking about selling or buying a home, obviously when you buy a home, what do you want? You want it to happen quickly, and you want to get a good price, right? Because nobody wants to, like, take forever, go slow, be frustrated, and then sell it for less than you think it's worth, right? That's not satisfying. What you want is Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty. In the height of when everything was going fast, they really perfected a system for getting homes sold quickly, staged right, photographed right, listed right, correct price, open house, all that stuff, so that really in like same day or a day or two, they were selling homes at above list price pretty consistently. Not necessarily all the time, but pretty a lot of the time. Well, obviously the market has slowed down a little bit, but now more than ever is when you need the help of a good realtor who really knows what they're doing and has a good system to make sure that you get the best price, the most eyeballs come looking at your house, all of that kind of stuff. And they are just good at this, really, really good at this. 175 homes sold last year. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinky Realty. Look her up online or give her a call, 723-9158.
Remember when washing machines were made in America, were solidly built, and actually got your clothes clean? They aren't a thing of the past. They are Speed Queen, and they are available at Tops Appliance. Speed Queen washer and dryers combine durability and technology into the best washers and dryers in the world. Speed Queen will change the way you think about washing machines. They're built to last longer and deliver exceptional wash results. Unlike many other washers and dryers with plastic parts, Speed Queen uses commercial-grade steel and porcelain components designed to give you at least 25 years of reliable, trouble-free operation. That's why they come with lifetime warranties, the best warranties in the business. See store for warranty details. Speed Queen washers and dryers are built to work and built to last. If you want durability, innovation, and perfectly done laundry the first time, then you want Speed Queen. See these great Speed Queen washers and dryers for yourself at Tops Appliance on Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street.
Here's today's strength for life. Even though so many corporations are celebrating Gay Pride Month, my Christian faith just won't let me. After all, there are 7 places in Scripture where homosexuality is addressed and condemned. And my heart genuinely breaks for individuals who are caught up in that lifestyle. I want to see them washed, sanctified, and justified, as is described in 1 Corinthians 6. I want to see them saved. No one loves the LGBTQ people more than Jesus does. No one is able to help them like he can. But for the Christian to celebrate Gay Pride Month is not love. 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, explains that love rejoiceth not in iniquity. It's saying Christians can't celebrate sin. Love doesn't do that. To celebrate any type of sin, instead of warn against it, is to personally escort individuals straight to hell. So Christian person, let us be loving enough to warn others about sin and invite them to the Savior.
For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, 1211 takes the stage.
To love me like I love on you.
Playing a mix of classic oldies, top 40, country, and hip-hop, 1211 is an energetic and dynamic pop R&B band. So grab your blanket or lawn chair and enjoy Bands on the Beach this Tuesday at 7.
Summer season is here, and Florida summers can really be hot. But despite the warm temperatures, your garden can still produce some beautiful flowers and delicious vegetables. Get all of your garden tips from me, Mike Wiggins, on The Garden Line, heard on the Pensacola Expert Panel every Tuesday from 9 till 10, and an encore hour Saturday from 9 till 10 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Garden Line is presented by Barnes Feed Store, Pensacola Hardware, and Blue Sky Landscaping.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Morning, 7:22 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. We have Dave Greenwood on the line. He is the Pensacola Beach Water Safety Chief for Escambia County. And this interview is brought to you, this beach report is brought to you by All Season Service Network. We guarantee to always provide the best service in the area. Dave, welcome back to the show, sir.
Well, thank you, Andrew. What a beautiful Friday morning to you.
Oh, man, it's going to be a great weekend. I'm looking forward to it. So, obviously, the big news this week was that Escambia County has changed its flag protocols, and I want to give you a chance to explain some of this to folks. This basically means that we have conceded, and we said, fine, we will do it your way so that we can all do it the same way, right?
Well, we want to send out a clear message. And as far as the big news, we implemented this last Saturday, and it was no big shock to everyone. You know, it went smoothly.
Good. But it is a transition.
We're pretty much, it's a modification of our flag system. It mirrors what our fellow agencies like you had asked me last year. Is there any talk about getting any consistency with the flag system?
Yeah.
Well, there you have it. Now we're consistent.
Now, you're not saying I caused this, right?
No, Andrew.
Thank
of course
you.
Not.
Good. I wanted to not be responsible. So the short version of this is that whereas previously it was not allowed to go into the water unless you were surfing on a red flag, now it's nobody goes in the water on double red flags, which is the same as before. The difference is previously you couldn't go in as a person unless you were surfing a red flag. Now you can go in, but it's discouraged because it's dangerous, right?
If you just look at it simply, our double red is what our single red flag used to represent.
And okay, so
I would have people call me several times over the past few weeks. If we've been flying red flags for quite a number of days and consecutive days, people will call on the. I get a call on my office phone, and Nate asks his first question. Hey, I just want to know: is it still a red flag? And I would tell them, no, we've switched to yellow. However, you know, there's still strong currents and high surf out there, but they didn't look at it as yellow flag is high surf or strong currents. They thought, oh, okay, we can go in the water. So this still lets the public know that there are high surf, there is high surf and strong currents out there.
So the question that I've been had for wanting to ask you all week is, it seems to me that for this change to take place, it's either one of two things. Either it is exactly the same level of safety as before, just with a different identifying marker, or the markers haven't changed, but we represent that you're going to go in when it's a less safe condition. And here's what I mean by that. Is the new red flag, the red flag that flies today, is the line between surf that is red versus double red the same evaluative line objectively of safety as what used to be the yellow-red divider line? Is that what's happened now?
Andrew, you're trying to get an objective answer to a subjective question.
I said this to you last year.
Everyone has an opinion on the flag color. Okay. Everyone has an opinion. So, yes, and when a red flag is flying, there is high surf and strong currents. And when it's a double red flag, when we feel that resources are being overwhelmed, you know, we'll just stop swimming and waiting.
Okay. So, but I guess what I'm saying is, I know that now you're allowed to swim with a red flag, but in like last year, what is now going to be just a red flag would have been a yellow?
Pretty much so, yeah.
Okay.
If you could say that. But okay. If you think about it, the yellow flag, there was so much latitude in the conditions. It can be slapping at your knees, yellow flag, or it could be up to your chest.
Right.
Stronger surf and it's still a yellow flag. And, you know, that's what I would tell people, because I had a colleague call me a few years ago, Saturday morning, is it still a red flag on the beach? And because she apparently has a college age daughter and some friends, and they're going to go to the beach. I'd say, no, it's not a red flag. It's a yellow flag. However, there are strong surf and currents in there. So I think it gets a better message to the public that they'll know that, hey, it's a red flag. You know, we should exercise, you know, make a better judgment.
What our decision is,
are we going to go in the water or not? Am I going to let my children in the water or not?
Right. And that makes perfect sense to me. And that's what I wanted to clarify, because I knew it had to be one or the other. Either it's the same prohibition at a certain level of danger. We're just calling it something different as before. And that's what it sounds like, which is good. That's good. I'm glad to know that that's the case. We've just kind of changed the identifying marker. Also because it's clear and because it's in line with all of our partner agencies in other counties that we are neighbors with. So very, very good. What do you expect for this weekend now that you can say things like, you know, red flag, but you can swim?
Beautiful. It's going to be beautiful. We've got junior guard tryouts tomorrow. We had to postpone it because we had that big rain event last Saturday morning. However, Saturday it started out rain, storms, but man, when the rain stopped, the people came out, and the beach was really crowded last Saturday, and we expect the really big crowds this weekend because of Friday. I'm looking at the water right now, and the beach is beautiful, so a lot of people are probably really, really enthusiastic to get out here and enjoy this beautiful gem we have, what we call Pensacola Beach.
Very good. Two things just want to make sure to remind people of. Number one, junior guard tryouts are tomorrow. And so if you have a kid who might be interested in that, check out their Facebook page for the Pensacola Beach Lifeguards. And then second thing is, the law still says that if the lifeguard tells you to get out of the water, issues a reasonable command under red or double red conditions, the lifeguards are ultimately the caretakers of safety, and if they tell you, you better obey it because it's the law. Dave Greenwood is the Pensacola Beach Water Safety Chief for Escambia County. As always, Dave, thanks for talking with us, keeping us safe, and helping us understand how to interact safely with the Gulf. I appreciate it, sir.
Well, I hope you have a great weekend. Enjoy the beautiful weather, Andrew, and I'll talk to you next Friday.
You bet, sir. All right, let's get John Pickens in here with Traffic on the Five. John?
Just one accident to let you know about: Latham Street and Copter Road over in the industrial park. No roadblock, but we're seeing some backups on Davis Highway. Other than that, traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Yes, I am. I'm right here with your headlines, Andrew. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has accepted an invitation to speak before Congress. Congressional leaders invited Netanyahu last week, and now they say he'll make his address on July 24th. House Speaker Mike Johnson said that speech will give Netanyahu a chance to share the Israeli government's vision for establishing peace in the region. And apparently, Andrew, the Full House is up for sale.
All right.
The San Francisco house seen in Full House, of course, also Fuller House on Netflix, is listed for, let's see here, where's that at? $6.5 million if you're looking for an investment property there.
Oh, sure. Yeah, why not?
I mean, pocket change.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I've been thinking about buying a house, and that was kind of the price range I was looking at. So
$6.5 million.
Yeah, we're there.
Probably a little low on your end,
yes,
but you know.
David, thanks so much for the update. Hey, coming up in a moment, we're going to talk to the Commodore of Training Air Wing 6 on board NAS Pensacola about his mission, part of our ongoing series, Meet Your Tenant Commands. If you've got a plumbing leak, a drip, a weird sound in the wall, a plumbing need of any kind, Barberry Plumbing, flat rate pricing, 477-8782.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. President Biden gives a speech today in Normandy, France, about protecting democracy. He's met in Paris with Ukraine's President Vladimir Zelensky.
I assure you, the United States is going to stand with you. I've said that all during this debate. I continue to say it. The United States is standing with you.
He apologized for military aid being held up for weeks over opposition in Congress. Several charges against the man who attacked Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi's husband, Paul, with a hammer are dismissed.
A judge in San Francisco dismissing David DePape's state charges of attempted murder, elder abuse, and assault with a deadly weapon. Public defenders say the counts fall under double jeopardy after the 44-year-old was convicted of federal charges, including assault on a family member of a U.S. official.
That's Fox's Kristen Goodwin. DePape is sentenced to 30 years in federal prison, and he still faces some state charges. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio Pensacola. I'm David Wayne. It is an absolutely gorgeous Friday morning right now. We've got 77 degrees and lots of sunshine all across the area. Firefighters were called to a jet ski fire on the Santa Rosa Sound yesterday. That happened off the shore of Soundside Drive. The Midway Fire Department responded. A caller reported the jet ski caught fire about 300 feet out. The jet ski rider was luckily not hurt in this incident. Firefighters were able to tow the vessel to shore. That's where they extinguished the flames. The FWC assisted with the investigation. Yesterday was Florida's first Revive Awareness Day under a new law signed by Governor DeSantis. The day bringing awareness to the dangers of opioid overdoses and the power of Narcan to save lives.
Blue or purple fingernails and lips, pinpoint-sized pupils, pale, clammy skin, slow, irregular heartbeat and breathing, unresponsive to voice and touch.
And that is Attorney General Ashley Moody. She says naloxone or Narcan is now free for first responders all across the state. And she says that Floridians can purchase it at the drugstore if they need to have it on hand for any of their family members. Well, Boeing's Starliner is now safely docked at the International Space Station. The two-person crew made it to the space station yesterday around 12:30.
At 12:34 p.m. Central Time above the southern Indian Ocean, we have confirmation of contact and capture of NASA's Boeing crew flight test and Starliner aboard the International Space Station. Butch and Sonny have made their arrival.
And all of that after there were a few issues with the Starliner spacecraft. There were problems with the thrusters causing them to miss their first docking window yesterday. Then also, there were a couple of helium leaks detected once the spacecraft got into orbit. A Santa Rosa County Circuit Court judge is setting the first hearing date now for the legal battle between Milton City Attorney Alex Andrade and Mayor Heather Lindsay. According to the News Journal, Judge Scott Duncan set a date of June 13th to hear arguments on a motion to subpoena Lindsay's phone records from AT&T. Last month, the Milton City Council did authorize Andrade to file the lawsuit. He alleges that Lindsay has not fully complied with public records requests regarding the hiring of former city manager Scott Collins. Recent Tate High School grad is now headed towards a national rodeo championship, possibly after winning the Alabama High School Rodeo last weekend. Lexi Nelson won the barrel racing title with her horse. The horse's name is MJ. She's now qualified for the national title in Wyoming. And Nelson had been competing in barrel racing for about 3 years now, tells Channel 3. Her ultimate goal is to use her horse to create a therapy program for autistic young adults. She'll be competing in that National Rodeo Championship in Rock Springs, Wyoming in July. It is 7:35 here, News Radio Pensacola, and John Pickens has a look at our traffic on the fives.
That's right. We're only seeing one accident right now with Latham Street and Copter Road. There's no roadblock with that, but seeing some delays on Davis Highway. Other than that, I-10, I-110 flowing very smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to have a beautiful day today with plenty of sunshine, high near 92 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 72. Nice sunny skies continue for Saturday with a high near 90 degrees. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 73. Rounding out the weekend with sunshine and a high near 92 and a low near 75. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, an absolutely gorgeous morning. It's 77 degrees in Pensacola, 76 in Gulf Breeze, 77 in Milton. Our next news at 8 o'clock. We have breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Five Below CEO Joel Anderson said lower-income consumers are feeling stretched with their spending, and it may remain that way for some time, even as inflation shows signs of easing. The company's revenue for the first quarter of fiscal 2024 came in lower than expected, and it posted weak revenue guidance. Shares plummeted nearly 11% yesterday, hitting a new 52-week low during the trading session. Worries are growing that the labor market is beginning to show cracks, particularly for the younger generations. The monthly rate of workers with little previous work experience getting jobs has plunged, falling to 13% from its previous peak of 20%, and that is according to Goldman Sachs. The Bureau of Labor Statistics said the hiring rate for all workers is at 3.6%, which is just above the low of the post-COVID era. Futures are little changed ahead of the jobs report. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials gained 78. That's Your Money Now.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
Pensacola Scenic 90 Cafe has been shining bright with some of the best Southern-style home-cooked food around for 25 years. And to celebrate their big anniversary this June, you get the gifts with 25% off lunch and dinner entrees all June long. That shrimp and crawfish Savannah? Yes, perfectly cooked ribeye. 25% off. It's happening through June at the Diner's Home at 701 Scenic Highway in East Pensacola Heights. For more information on Scenic 90, visit them at scenic90cafe.com.
Severe weather can strike at any time.
At any time.
Again, we are dealing with a tornado warning right now. This is going to be in Santa Rosa County.
At any time.
And Steve, you're looking at the radar. What are you seeing right now?
When you need to know.
Well, on the News Radio ThreatNet radar, the showers are covering the entire north part of Escambia County, moving into the downtown area.
Severe weather can strike at any time.
When you need to know.
News Radio Pensacola.
Informative, local, dependable.
What do you need, son?
Need to borrow your bow.
Let's drop some lead on those motherfuckers!
Light them up.
They ain't gonna sink this battleship, no way.
Verify our range to target. One ping only.
What's their range now?
200 miles, sir.
They break 150 miles, launch the alert 5 aircraft.
Yes, sir.
What are you doing? You're slowing down! You're slowing down!
I'm bringing them in closer, Merlin.
You're gonna do what?
I got a good lock. Firing.
Oh, yeah, time to do our Meet Your Tenant Command section where we where we have a chance to find out what takes place on board NAS Whiting Field, NAS Pensacola, and Corey Station. Today I have in studio with me, I have Captain Doug White. He is the Commodore of Training Wing 6, call sign Cricket, that is on board NAS Pensacola. Captain, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News.
Andrew, thanks so much for having me. Hold
on just a second. There we go. Go ahead.
Thanks so much for having me here.
Absolutely.
Andrew, appreciate it.
Great to have you. Is this your first radio interview?
It is my first radio interview.
Yes! Yeah. I love it. Yep. See, can I, this is, as an aside, the whole point of doing this was, you know, the Blue Angels get a lot of attention, the museum gets a lot of attention, Village gets a lot of attention, the commanding officer of the base. I wanted to give all of the other operational units attention, and so that makes me excited every time I can get somebody on the air for the very first time to talk to our community. Before we get into what you do, you have kind of an interesting family story. You are definitely not the first person in the Navy in your family.
I am not, Andrew. I am a fourth generation Navy. It goes way back all the way to World War I with my great grandfather, fireman on the USS New York, and then my grandfather Hugh, who was on the USS Pennsylvania in World War II. My dad, airframer on F-8s and VF-111, the Sundowners, pretty famous Navy squadron in Vietnam. And most of my uncles as well, aviation in the Navy. And
wow.
So I grew up with all these stories about the Navy at basically every family function. They all did one enlistment and got out, except for my one uncle, who's a retired chief petty officer. And so I always thought to myself, well, geez, guys, you talk about this like it was the best time of your life. Maybe I should look into that as well.
That's great. So did your grandfather or your great-grandfather have a chance to know you as a captain, as a Commodore?
Unfortunately, no. My great-grandfather passed away when I was about a year and a half old.
Okay.
My grandfather passed away when I was in high school. He did know that I got an appointment to the Naval Academy.
Okay.
Though,
but the rest of your family, I assume it's kind of, you know, a little weird for them that you're this guy now, the guy they used to always salute, right?
Yeah. It's of course they're proud of me, but
yeah.
I tend to try to remember where I came from as
that's,
well.
That's always important. All right, so let's explain to people what you do. You're the Commodore of the Wing, and you have, by my count, you have four and a half units that operate underneath what you do, but it's all training, most of which is related to what civilians might call backseaters, naval flight officers. If you think Top Gun, Goose.
Right.
Okay, you guys train the Gooses of the Navy and the Marines, right?
That is correct. You know, it's a common misconception, and it's that's usually the example I give to folks when I tell them, hey, I'm a naval flight officer. Their normal reply is, oh, but Goose dies. Which is obviously not part
away.
Of the plan. Yes, that's true. He did die in the movie. But what we really do, what a naval flight officer really is they are a specialist in the mission of the aircraft that they are assigned in. So they are, you know, if they're a TAC air, tactical air, fast jet, naval flight officer, they'll have a name. So in the Growler, the aircraft that I flew, I was an electronic warfare officer.
That's the F-18 that is electronic attack.
That's right. Suppression of enemy air defenses. Mm-hmm. So we clear out the defenses so that the strike aircraft, the F-18Es and F models, can go in and drop their bombs. And so if you're in an F model Super Hornet, you are an expert in the weapons that aircraft carries. You do all the weaponeering for the mission. To make sure that you get the correct effects on target. In the other big wing platforms, you are an expert in the mission of that aircraft. So if you are a naval flight officer, let's say at an E-6 TACAMO, which is the nuclear command and control aircraft, you know, your entire purpose in life is to make sure that those messages make it out.
So, and, you know, if you're working on like a Poseidon, you know, you're going to be anti-sub, so you're deploying the sonar buoys.
Mm-hmm.
The
right.
Different there's because in each plane that has this kind of need, you're going to have the pilot who's responsible primarily for flying the plane.
Right.
And then you have the naval flight officer who is responsible for the operation of the weapons and or detection and or jamming and or whatever the other purpose of delivering that plane on target. The NFO is responsible for that slice.
That's right. And many times the naval flight officer is the overall mission commander.
Okay.
For the mission. So it has nothing to do with controlling the aircraft and everything to do with your amount of expertise in the mission area.
And you train how many a year?
Somewhere between 250 and 300. It varies
Okay. Slightly
year to year just based on the needs in the Navy. But
okay.
Yeah, that's about what we put out, which is interesting because that's roughly the same number of jet pilots that the Navy makes every year.
Okay. So one thing is that people may not realize this, and this is why we're doing the series, is like you mentioned the F-18. The F-18, the A and B was the Legacy Hornet. The A was the one-seater. The B was the two-seater. C, D, E, F, these are all two-seat configure, or these are all the Super Hornet configurations. The C and the E are the single seat. The D and the F are the two-seat configuration. Why don't they all have two?
Well, you know, that's probably a longer answer.
Okay,
all right, I'm not privy to all the details with acquisition. I did do a tour in a test squadron, but who really knows why they ordered them the way that they did?
Okay,
I will tell you that the two-seat platforms allow a much higher level of division of labor inside the cockpit. Okay. Right, so the E and the F have the same mission, but it doesn't take much thought to realize that if you got two people doing the same mission, obviously folks can specialize, they can divide their attention,
sure,
and you're going to get a in theory higher level of performance out of the aircraft.
Okay, and fair enough, because you know, some platforms like the F-35 is only a single person. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, things like the Prowler and the Poseidon, they're only multiple people, so they don't have a single pilot mission. And so it's just kind of interesting to me that the F-18 does have that kind of split nature to it. And and you know, you don't train the front seaters, you train the backseaters. We're going to come back to this in a second because we just scratched the surface, but it's going to get pretty interesting here in a second. We're talking to Captain Doug White. He is call sign Cricket, the Commodore Training Wing 6 on board NS Pensacola. Jimmy out. Dang it. I knew it was going to happen. I went from Jake to Jimmy to John. Give me a break. John's okay. Got traffic on the fives.
That's right. Taking a look at traffic right now. East Fairfield Drive and North Palafox Street. We've got an accident there that just popped up. No roadblock. I-10, I-110, all flowing smoothly right now. That's a look at your traffic on the fives. I'm John Pickens with traffic on the fives.
All right. Thanks so much, John. Back to Cricket. Okay. So training Air Wing 6 on board NAS Pensacola. By my count, you use two different aircraft and then training, you know, simulators.
That's correct.
You have three squadrons. Training squadron 4 is the Warbucks. And this is training who?
So I'll back it up to you this way. We'll just do it chronologically.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
Comes into the training pipeline. So a couple of weeks ago, you had Redman on. Redman mm-hmm. runs Schools Command. That's where the indoctrination part that everybody gets the same, you know, level-based load of learning, whether you're a
Naval
pilot.
Introductory Flight Evaluation, NIFE.
That's right. That's right. From there, if you're a Naval Flight Officer, you're going to come over to Training Wing 6. You stay in Pensacola the entire time. We are unique in that. All the other jobs in the Navy. If you're a student Naval Aviator, you're going to bounce around.
They might go to Whiting. They might go to Corpus. Right. Whatever. Or they might come back to Whiting for Halos or Meridian. Okay. But,
that's right.
But if they're going to do NFO, they're staying here.
They're staying here in Pensacola. So everybody comes into VT-10, the Wildcats. That is our primary squadron. They fly the T-6 Texan II made by Beechcraft. So it's the propeller plane that you see flying mm-hmm. around. It is 1,100 horsepower. It is essentially a early World War II fire in
okay.
terms of performance. 7Gs, very powerful, nimble aircraft. They use that to learn the basics of aviation. So aviating, navigating, and communicating. So mm-hmm. talking on the radios, learn how to get from A to B, and co-piloting skills. After primary is when...
And just so people have been listening to this whole series, if they're learning how to fly the front seat pilot role, they'd be at Whiting or somewhere, or Corpus. If they're learning the back seat role, they'd be with you, where they have instructor pilots in the front seat.
That's right.
Who are themselves either current or former naval aviator pilots training the backseaters. Right?
That's right. That's okay. right. We have all active duty pilots down here at Training Wing 6. Some of the other training wings do have contractors that fly with them.
Okay.
And interestingly enough, the first few flights that they do in the T-6, they are in the front seat flying the aircraft.
Oh, okay. Yep. See, I didn't know that.
Yep.
I'm glad I asked.
No better
okay.
way to learn how to swim than
to
just
see what it
jump
is.
Into the deep end of the pool.
Okay.
So that's what we do to give them appreciation for what the pilot is doing and the mm-hmm. task loading on them. And then from there, we move them to the backseat in later flights as they get deeper into the navigation.
Okay, so in the pipeline, they go to learn primary NFO, yep. and then they do advanced NFO.
Yep, so actually...
Because there's a selection, right?
Yep, there's a selection after primary, and after that, that's when they get sorted.
That's right.
Between
the sorting hat of
the sorting hat of
yeah,
exactly.
jets or big wing or whatever.
Yeah,
right.
So the two pipelines after that are essentially big wing or jets. And if you get jets, you stay in VT-10. You do an intermediate where you learn formation flying, tactical maneuvering with multiple aircraft. If you
and now you're on the Goshawk. You're the T-40.
No, you're still on T-6s.
Oh, okay.
But you're just adding in more T-6s flying together. And then from there, after you complete intermediate in VT-10, you go on to VT-86 flying the T-45.
Got it.
Over on the other side of the house, if you select big wing, you're going to go to VT-4. You're going to do a core intermediate phase. They have a system of simulators that allows them to reconfigure based on platform. So everybody gets the same core, and then they select at the end of intermediate into their individual platform, either P-8s, the Poseidon aircraft that we talked about, the E-6 TACAMO that we talked about, or the E-2C Hawkeye, which does airborne early warning.
That's, I call it the brain plane, the one with the big dome.
The brain plane. Yeah. It is the quarterback of the fleet.
So they go through this selection and they either stay in 10 and learn the intermediate for on the Texan and then eventually go to 4 for the T-45, or they go to the trainers and they learn on simulators how to work with big wing, where they would eventually go to a fleet replacement squadron.
Absolutely.
And learn their particular platform and then actually go out into the fleet.
That's right. So at the end of the road here in Pensacola are the wings of gold, as we say. So we have one winging every month, and then from there they will go to their individual fleet replacement squadron based on what platform they selected.
So if I look up in the air,
yes,
and I see the white body with the orange wingtips accented, it could be that it's one of your planes where they're learning how to be backseaters. It could be that it's one of Fez's planes from Whiting that they're learning how to be front seaters. But it is going to be one of those two things.
Yes. If it's a jet,
if it's a
mine.
T-45, yeah. Then it's and it's loud.
It's mine.
Then it's going to be yours only because that's learning how to be a backseater in the jet, so that they can go off and become growler pilots, presumably mostly
growler EOs or Super Hornet Wizzos, weapon systems officers.
All right. So, what about there's another program that you do though, and we didn't get a chance to talk about it yet, but it's an important one because you have the drone training.
That's right.
Under your command.
That's right. And this is a new program that we are just standing up right now. Right now it is just a detachment that is under the wing, under the auspices of the wing. But we will we've already winged about 10 air vehicle pilots. So this is the Navy's foray into autonomous platforms.
Okay.
So these individuals are the ones that will operate the MQ-25 Stingray, which is the new large drone that will fly on aircraft carriers to take over the tanking mission.
Will we start seeing these big,
unfortunately not,
big drones over Pensacola?
I'm a fan of aviation, obviously. So we train those folks on a system called Vigilant Spirit, which is essentially a ground control station.
Oh.
So it looks very much like what they'll see in a fleet. Unfortunately, we will not have any of the actual
all
platforms
right.
here.
Fine.
I know.
Whatever. But also worth noting, you do have a German Air Force training squadron that operates under you, right?
That's correct. 2nd German Air Force squadron. So that is in a midst of kind of reinvention at the moment.
Oh, okay.
Germany, we're currently training the last German TAC Air weapon systems officer.
Oh,
okay. So he will wing next year. After that, we do also train some of their folks in a system that they have on helicopters. So the mission is not going away. It's just getting slightly smaller, and they're looking at recombining some of their efforts that they have at other training bases.
Do you have Coast Guardsmen come through your
training?
No, FNOs. No, I mean, I don't know what the equivalent would be, but there isn't anybody like that that you train
for the Coast Guard? No, not for the Coast Guard. No.
And then just so people kind of put all the pieces together a little bit, you guys report to Chief of Naval Air Training, SINATRA.
That's
is
correct.
the acronym for that. Part of what happens within your command, though, is that you are a landlord for a relatively well-known operational unit in the Navy called the Blue Angels.
That's correct.
You don't command the Blue Angels, you don't oversee the Blue Angels,
nope.
But you do provide their apartment.
That's right. They're kind of like a roommate, really.
Yeah.
The hangar that we have two hangars out of the flight line that we operate out of, and one of them they occupy the corner of the hangar. So it's like having a roommate that's gone a lot on the weekends working, and we just make sure that nobody left the water on, and we turn the lights off for them and stuff like that. But Boss Armitas, I've known him for many, many years. He and I were at the academy together. Fantastic.
Oh, that's
individual.
Great. How many planes do you oversee?
I have 21 T-45s. And
that's the Goshawk.
That's the loud
white plane with the orange wingtips.
43 T-6 Alphas.
Okay. And then last question is, maybe not last, but I always find more stuff. You're changing the color scheme. Is that right, that your planes are starting to adopt a different color scheme?
That's right. So Sinatra as a whole, as you know, every aircraft has to be repainted at some point. So they have started a new program that as the aircraft go in to get repainted, they will come back out in a low visibility gray color scheme. So to get ahead of that and also to honor, I guess, one of our heroes in the Naval Flight Officer community, Willie Driscoll, who is the only Naval Flight Officer ace out there from Vietnam. We are currently having one of our T-45s painted as an homage to his MiG Killer F-4 from Vietnam.
Nice.
From VF-96.
I love it. Also, just a quick note, you said that your front seat pilots are all current active duty.
That's correct.
But I've known some people who, for example, Blue Angels pilots who retire, or maybe they stay in and I'm mistaken, but they transition over to being instructor pilots for you.
So,
and not just them, but I mean, like generally from the fleet, people. There's all you have all kinds of people that are working for
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely, the other training air wings do have several contract pilots.
Okay.
That they have to help out with the.
But you is all active duty.
That's correct.
Okay, and then one last quick thing is, for people who are really paying attention, they know that the Navy and the entire military is transitioning over to the F-35. A combined, you know, there will come a time when we don't order F-18s anymore. Okay, that's not going to be for a while, but still, that's a single seat. Only, and so people might wonder, does transition to the F-35 mean that the Naval Flight Officer training Air Wing 6, operation command necessity is going away? And the answer is?
Absolutely not. We will be here for many, many more years to come. I think the best way to look at it is the F-35 is one aircraft in the tactical air arm of the Navy. We still have all those big wing platforms that I spoke mm-hmm. of that mm-hmm. will require NFOs for many years to come. And we still have the Growler, and the Growler will always require a backseater. And with the growth in air vehicle pilot training that we're doing here, I expect that to come up and be something in the future here.
Yeah, that AVP or drone pilot is obviously that is a never-increasing mission for the Navy. And the fact that we are acquiring and have that in-house and it's growing from its sort of nascent stage into whatever it's going to be in the future, that we have that here already means that for people who might be worried about size of mission and you mm-hmm. know role of you know training Air Wing 6 in the military ongoing for NAS Pensacola, it's not going anywhere because of that mission in particular and other things. One last, this is just a detail thing, but sometimes it helps to understand. VT means
fixed wing. The
V
means
fixed wing
mm-hmm. and the T means training.
As opposed to at Whiting you might have
HT
for helicopter.
That's right.
See, these acronyms aren't that hard to figure out.
Yeah, well, now why fixed wing is V, I don't know.
But it is.
It is.
Yeah. And that's all you need
it's
to know.
It's a mystery.
Captain Doug White, call sign Cricket, Commodore Training Air Wing 6. Cricket, you did great. Thank you so much for training our Naval Flight Officers. Thank you so much for teaching us what you do and for helping us understand your mission. And the better we understand it, the more we can support it and be excited about it and know what we're talking about when we talk to people about what the Navy does here.
Thanks so much. We're very appreciative of the community here.
7:57 here on News Radio Pensacola. We've got traffic on the fives with John.
That's right. Still dealing with that accident on East Fairfield Road and North Palafox Street. No roadblock with that, but it's causing some delays. Other than that, traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with traffic on the fives.
Hey there, home buyers and sellers. I'm Will.
And I'm Angela.
With Cannell and Company Realty.
Your dynamic real estate duo.
We're not just realtors, we're real estate MVPs. With a game plan tailored to your needs, we'll score you the home of your dreams.
Whether it's finding the perfect starter home or selling to upgrade, your goals are our goals, and we'll make sure you come out on top.
So when it comes to real estate, trust us at BuySellCannell.com.
That's BuySellCannell.com.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Pensacola Christian Academy is the area's premier kindergarten learning program. Why? Because in a fun, safe environment, even four-year-olds learn to read, beginning with letters and sounds, progressing to reading words, sentences, and stories. And the best part? If your child attends K-4 and K-5 at Pensacola Christian Academy, you'll get first grade tuition-free. Spots are filling quickly, so go to enrollpca.com to register now.
7:59 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Man, I'm so excited about doing these podcasts because I feel like I am learning a ton.
And I'm learning a lot.
Yeah, no, absolutely. David, you have any quick headlines for us, sir?
Yeah, the woman that inspired the Netflix show Baby Reindeer has filed a lawsuit. Fiona Harvey filed a lawsuit against Netflix. She says the show is defamatory and caused her to be harassed.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola. An unexpected